The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon back in Arizona to recover from the NBA playoffs.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Recover? Did you play in them? Is that what happened?
No. You know, actually, Tony, as you've made reference to, I've probably had less travel in these playoffs because of the Suns than I've ever had in 40 years of covering basketball. Probably less travel. Probably.
And again, slept in your own beds every single night because you own so many houses.
No.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Milwaukee celebrates the Bucks. Los Angeles boos Kenley Jansen, and Tokyo goes forward with the Olympics. But we begin today with something we touched on briefly yesterday. The report in the Houston Chronicle that Texas and Oklahoma are seeking admission to the SEC. This would make the SEC even more fabulous and reduce the Big 12 to also-ran status. Wilbon, what does this story tell you about the future of college football?
Tony, a lot and nothing. I mean, a lot in that there's total upheaval. We've known that was coming with name, image, and likeness in theory. And now that it's in practice, we know the upheaval's already started. It means the end of the NCAA, as we've known it, thankfully, soon, maybe by Thanksgiving. I don't mean it won't exist, but as we have known the NCAA, as, you know, so this big larger-than-life cop, they're gone. They're done. They're toothless. They really are Barney Fife now. They have the handcuffs, and people are looking at them going, get out of here. Take a walk.
Tremendous. A Tony, Barney Fife reference. We're so young when
I
we
knew
do
you would
like
that.
That.
I know. I knew you would like that.
So
but Tony, it tells us all of that and more. You got upset coaches like Nick Saban. You got conferences that are good. I shouldn't say upset. Annoyed. You got conferences that aren't going to exist or going to have 24 teams, one or the other, or both. I mean, it's just bedlam. It's the wild, wild west. I'm stealing that line from you because you said that about a month ago. It is. It is. We know nothing, but yet we know college sports are going to be, I mean, they're going to exist in ways we never imagined.
So I'm just going to underscore what you have said. It is the end of the NCAA. The NCAA is over in football. I'm not saying in all sports. I'm saying it's over in football. What the NCAA did was they were against paying the players. They were against elite conferences. They lost on all cards, as they say in boxing. They're on the wrong side of history. What they did, essentially, was guard against players getting paid, and now players can get paid. So there's no purpose to the NCAA. Mike, what I think is going to happen and what I think is going to happen soon is the 40 or 50 schools that honestly believe that they can compete for the national championship will form one large conference. We're divided into East, South, Midwest, and West. They'll take 8 teams or 12 teams. They'll get in a playoff. They'll negotiate directly with television networks such as this one for all of the money that is out there because they don't have to split it with Kansas and Oregon State and Vanderbilt and Rutgers. They don't have to do that. They can keep all the money and they can use some of it to pay players. I'm not going to be surprised if recruiting is going to be paying players, and what we really will have, Mike, is professional football. It'll just be called college. It'll be called college, but it's going to be pro football.
But let me ask you if we're going to go as far as another culture. You know, we look at Luka Doncic, and we talk about him playing professionally since he was like 14. Tony, are we looking at the end of college athletics, because there will just be these leagues that are loosely affiliated with certain schools, and maybe there'll be leagues where they're not even affiliated with certain schools anymore, and they're just out there, and they start recruiting these kids at 13 and 14 to these academies, and they don't matriculate in the same way you and I have become accustomed to for all our lives.
So my answer to that would be easier in a sport like basketball where you only need 5 players at a time. That's harder in football. There are many more moving parts. But we are headed towards professionalism. Yep. You know, there's just no doubt about that. And a lot of conferences are going out the window. as is the NCAA and Mark Emmert, out the window, see you around.
Mark Emmert. Let's move to baseball, where Dodgers fans booed one of their own last night. The crowd let closer Kenley Jansen hear it after he blew his second straight save, this one against the rival Giants. And manager Dave Roberts acknowledged the fans' right to voice their frustrations, but was disappointed given everything Jansen has meant to the franchise. Tony, was this booing fair or foul?
Get to that in a second. I want to praise the Giants and the Dodgers series. The last two games have gone to the last at-bats. And for people that don't understand this, this is a real rivalry. It spans about 90 years and 3,000 miles. It is a real big deal. Okay. Are they right to boo him? He's got a, I know he blew his last two saves. He's got a 1.45 ERA going into last night. The last time he lost to the Giants at home was, hello, 2013. I think it's, or 2014, some a long time ago, and that is Mariano Rivera land. But I have to tell you, Mike, I watch the Nats all the time. When they put in Wander Suero and he gives up a home run right away, when they put in Brad Hand and he blows another game, I sit in front of the set, and if I wasn't so afraid that someone would take me, I would boo. I would boo the set. I agree with the Dodger manager. You shouldn't do it, but it would be my impulse, yes.
Tony, you know, relief pitchers and particularly closers, they're the new field goal kickers. They're the new place kickers. Place kickers, you love them when they make that last one to beat the Cowboys 19-18. But then 2 weeks later when they blow one or they go double doink, you boo like a mad person.
Cody Parkey.
Yeah. This was wrong for Dodgers people to boo Kenley Jansen. This is wrong. I understand, as a Cubs fan, I mean, closers or not, the lack of a closer has kept us from the World Series, like, I don't know, three or four times in the last 20 years. So I get it philosophically, but you can't do it. It's awful for Dodgers fans to do this. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. They're playing against the Giants. They got a real tough division there, including the Padres. Padres, Giants, Dodgers, this thing's going to go round and round. Yeah. And if all they want to do is boo somebody every time there's a tough night, I'm going to start laughing at them, even though I, generally speaking, support the Dodgers.
I want to go back to something that we talked about yesterday off air because we couldn't get it on the air. When Will Smith hit that home run that beat the Giants, the walk-off. He's a catcher, by the way. When he hit that home run, the last time that the Dodgers beat the Giants, who they play 19 times every single year for 100 years, the last time they beat the Giants in a walk-off when they were trailing was done by another catcher, Roy Campanella, in 1943.
Who
53. I remember,
wow.
Roy Campanella, wow. How old am I? Before you answer, we move on. The opening ceremonies of the Tokyo Olympics will be broadcast here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Eastern time. We have talked at length about these Olympics and whether we should even have them, given the virus concerns. Wilbon, what storyline do you find most compelling about what we are going to see in the next 2 weeks?
How about who's competing? That's what I want to know. I'm not talking about the people with endorsement deals that, you know, are like half the amount of an Alabama quarterback. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about, Tony, you and I used to go to the Olympics. We didn't even need a scorecard. We didn't need a lineup. We didn't need rosters. We knew everybody competing in every sport. Now I don't know anybody because of the pandemic. Because in 2020, we couldn't pay attention to that. It just wasn't front of mind. It wasn't time. There wasn't space. There wasn't the urgency for it. And so now we get to 2021, and we're still sort of preoccupied with, are the games even going on? Tony, we've gone 2 years, we've gone half the Olympic cycle. When I can't tell you who the American favorite is in the 100 meter. I can't tell you. Even though that is one of my favorite events of all time, and I've known the roster of people going back to Jesse Owens. I don't know them anymore. So storyline, how about who's in the Olympics? Can we start there?
It's interesting. I mean, you've been to more Olympics than I have, but I've been to five. And people always ask you when you're a sports writer, what's the greatest event you ever covered? It's easy for me. It's 100-meter dash in Seoul.
Me too. Oh,
when
yeah.
Ben Johnson beat Carl Lewis. And no question. I was 10 yards from the finish line. The second one may be Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan and Lillehammer because I wrote about it every day for 2 weeks. I mean, I was totally involved in it. Look, I want to see Katie Ledecky against this woman from Australia who has bettered Katie Ledecky's times. I want to see Simone Biles because she's probably the greatest gymnast ever. I want to see all the track and field there is, though, like you, I don't know the names of the people involved. I'm going to watch the end of the decathlon. I'm going to watch fencing and rowing, the sports that most people watch most of the time here, basketball or golf or tennis. I don't care about those in the Olympics.
No,
I don't care about them in the Olympics.
You've been to 5. I've been to 10 Olympics, right? I want to know who the new Alexander Karelin is. I know you know the Russian bear because he didn't lose for 20 years. Who's that?
I don't mean
just the people NBC shows us, Stars and Stripes. No, 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 no. The Olympics, you learn about the greatest athletes, in the world, not just in this country. And I don't know them, and I feel bad about it because I've known them all my adult life.
I want to know who's the next Pocket Hercules. I've been to weightlifting
who's
in Atlanta.
Who's the next Kathy Freeman?
There's
so many great athletes.
It was great.
Don't know him.
Yeah.
Don't know him.
Let's take a break. Coming up, Milwaukee cheers the Bucks title. But are the Nets more likely to win the East next season?
And what are the realistic chances that Chris Paul leaves the desert for the Lakers?
At the end of the decathlon, when it's dark and you're running the 1500 and you're gasping for air, that's fantastic drama.
Bob Matthias. Yeah, but now we're just watching events.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First. All without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Time for toss up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, then spends too much of his evening wondering what city Wilbon will host from tomorrow, because that's true. What's first?
Toss-up, more likely to win the East next season, the Bucks or the Nets?
All right, so I want to give, as you do too, all credit to the Milwaukee Bucks, all credit to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Totally understand when he says at the end of the game, I stayed here, I didn't want to join a super team, I did it the hard way and we won. And that's all true. I would also like to point out that one of the teams they beat, the Nets, were missing one of their key players, Kyrie Irving, and one of their other key players, James Harden, was not playing at 100%, right? So if you look at the best three players on Milwaukee, Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday, you're going to tell me you would take them over healthy Kyrie Irving, healthy James Harden, healthy Kevin Durant? Because I don't believe you're going to do that. So again, all credit to Milwaukee. Enjoy it. If you're asking me about next year, I think the Nets will win. It's not something I like. It's something I expect.
Winning a championship in any sport, transforms you. And in basketball, teams win more than one all the time. All right? And so I believe that the Milwaukee Bucks are no longer the Milwaukee Bucks of 2 years ago or last year. They're the Milwaukee Bucks of this championship week and moving forward. And I'm going to take them over the Brooklyn Nets, who I can't rely on. I can't count on.
Really?
They got too many wild cards. Tony, even when LeBron formed a super team, they struggled in Miami. They won two. They should have won one. If the San Antonio Spurs can get a rebound, they got one, okay? That's a championship team in Milwaukee. The Nets have to put one together. They are very capable because those are great, 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 great players, one and all. But these guys have one, and they got their chest poked out, and they are ready to go. And Giannis is a two-time MVP with a ring. I will take the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's fine. What's next?
Toss up better team for Chris Paul next season, the Suns or the Lakers?
So, Wilbon, you will love this. I got yelled at last night by our friends, Bill Simmons and David Israel. And they said, what are you talking about? He can't go to the Lakers. There's no money with the Lakers. That's not going to happen. And maybe they're right. My position is, if people want to make things happen, they can make things happen. What we've learned in the NBA in the last 10 to 15 years, a league that is run by players, what we've learned is that players can move if they want to move, that there's no such thing as an untradeable contract. Chris Paul's old. He may have one more shot at it. He's been a nomad the last 3 years, three different teams in 3 years. He lives in Los Angeles. I think he's going to play with LeBron James, his dear friend, and Anthony Davis. I think they're going for it.
As much as it pains me as I sit here a few miles from the arena where the Suns did, they had their magic season and their playpen that they practice and live in, as much as it pains me, the Lakers. I mean, LeBron, he and LeBron, this friendship goes back for forever, half their lives, right? And what does LeBron need? Yeah. I hear the Russell Westbrook rumors. Don't tell me that Russell Westbrook fits in a team with LeBron James the same way Chris Paul would. And I don't know what Chris is going to do. I haven't asked him lately, and I don't even know that he knows. He may know. Maybe he doesn't know yet. If he stays here, the Suns are going to have a shot. Because to quote my friend Kendrick Perkins, the Suns are eye candy, new eye candy. And there are people around the league, just like the Lakers are calling Chris Paul, they're saying, hey, I'll come play in Arizona with Chris Paul and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. He can stay here and do this. But Tony, it pains me to say this, but the answer is probably the Lakers.
The Lakers. You need Chris Paul's number, I got it here. You can put it on your speed dial, it'll work. That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Tom Brady, your boy, has some words for the teams that passed on him. Still?
And will your mean Mercedes return to the White Sox? Man, White Sox got a lot going on.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Happy time, people. Happy 77th birthday, Sparky Lyle. Back in the day when relief pitchers didn't just come in for a save in the ninth inning, Lyle would regularly pitch two or three innings one night and do it again the next night. His greatest years were with the Yankees of Reggie and Billy that won two World Series, but Lyle logged 16 seasons and relieved for the Red Sox, Rangers, Phillies, and White Sox as well. He won the Cy Young in 1977. His real name is Albert Walter Lyle, but he was called Sparky at an early age. I'm quoting him here. My dad wanted a dog, he explained. Lyle was a clubhouse prankster who would sit naked on birthday cakes, put goldfish in water coolers, and liniment in a teammate's toothpaste tube. On a personal note, Lyle once told me it was inevitable that a reliever would have a bad night, and the trick was to forget it as soon as possible and get back up on that tightrope.
Those clubhouse prankster guys, when I covered baseball, I was wary of them. But it sounds like you liked Sparky Lyle. Sounds like that.
did. I did like Sparky Lyle. Liked Reggie Moore, of course, but I liked Sparky Lyle. Happy anniversary, Dream Team. On this day 29 years ago, the 1992 United States Olympic basketball team held a scrimmage that Michael Jordan insists is the greatest game he ever played in. The players were divided up into two teams, blue and white. Blue was Magic Johnson, Charles Barkley, David Robinson, Chris Mullin, and Christian Laettner. White was Jordan, Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, Scottie Pippen, and Larry Bird. Clyde Drexler and John Stockton did not participate because of injuries. Olympic coach Chuck Daly simply said, quote, all you got now, all you got, unquote. White won 40-36, and Sports Illustrated called it the greatest game nobody ever saw. I want to stop any debate right now. There's only one dream team, this one. It is the greatest basketball team ever assembled. Players on other countries were so honored to play against them, they took pictures with the dream team after the game.
Preach. Preach. Look, Tony, I was with a handful of writers who were covering that team, and we sat, if my memory serves correctly, right outside the door, sort of waiting for it to end, as Jack McCallum, I think, wrote the greatest game nobody saw, because nobody was in there except the team. David Dupree, Sam Smith, Mark Heisler, Jack McCallum, might have been a couple others, but you know all those people. And we sat out there, and I have talked to Magic about this game, and Charles about this game, and Michael about this game, all of them, really. And what they all say is, this is the greatest basketball competition I was ever involved in. Who's going to doubt them? You want to doubt those guys, and you think you've been on a team as good as that? You would be mistaken.
Happy trails to your mean Mercedes retirement. The White Sox rookie, who was recently demoted to AAA Charlotte, wrote an Instagram post yesterday that he is, quote, stepping aside from baseball indefinitely. You'll remember Mercedes gained notoriety in May when he hit a 3-0 pitch for a homer in a rout over the Twins. His manager, Tony La Russa, criticized Mercedes for swinging at that pitch and then celebrating that home run. But then today, Mercedes wrote another post on Instagram with an image of a phoenix rising from the ashes and stated, quote, I will never give up. I love everybody. I'm back, unquote. Wilbon, the White Sox and this guy, they're your account.
Tony, they're not my account, but they are fascinating. A fascinating team, fascinating to watch. Guys like Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, Yasmani Grandal, they haven't even really been with the team. These guys are your all-star level players. I think they're all going to rejoin. Nick Madrigal, he's been out and is out. They just got mashers all over the lineup. They're fun to watch. We need to pay more attention to them. They don't get covered nationally like the Cubs do, and this White Sox team is fascinating.
We are running out of show, and we go to the big finish. The NFL says teams will have to forfeit if a COVID outbreak among the unvaxxed forces a postponement that can't be rescheduled within the 18-week season. What does that mean?
This is ramping up the pressure on players who haven't been vaccinated to do so, to get vaccinated, plain and simple. In a chat with Jim Gray, Tom Brady likened teams that passed on him in free agency last year to a team passing on Michael Jordan or Wayne Gretzky. Your thoughts?
Just get over it already. You're the golden boy. You're the GOAT. Will you stop it? Stop this.
Amen
to that. The Detroit Tigers won their 7th straight today. Are you impressed?
Unbeaten since the All-Star game. They were terrible a couple of months ago. Now they're only like 3-4 games under 500. Good for their turnaround. Eric Dickerson tells TMZ the Rams should bring back Todd Gurley. You with that, Mr. Ram?
Well, Cam Akers went out for the whole season. Gurley knows the system. That makes sense to me. Last one, Bill Russell will auction most of his memorabilia. Wow, are you interested?
Tony, he says he's going to share with the world some of these items. That's his motivation. Also, the proceeds, a lot of them are going to the Boston-based nonprofit organization Mentor. So Mr. Russell has a purpose, an agenda, a passion here. Good for him.
Out of time. Try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. Tony, I know you want a picture of Russell and Wilt. Now here's SportsCenter.